Blog Talk Radio.
Brown grass on the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I'm open wide to the truth I left behind, a love so hard to find. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass. Brown grass. On the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I made a mess of the life I had with you, in search of something new. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass. Why didn't I know that she was a essential part of me? I thought that I needed to find me, and I needed to be free. Why didn't I know that she was all that I would ever need? I looked at the distant view and thought it was for me. But now I know it was just brown grass on the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I'm open wide to the truth I left behind, a love so hard to find. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass. Why didn't I know that she was a essential part of me? I thought that I needed to find me, and I needed to be free. Why didn't I know that she was all that I would ever need? I looked at the distant view and thought it was for me. But now I know it was just brown grass. On the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I'm open wide to the truth I left behind, a love so hard to find. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass.
All right. All right. We're back again for some serious study about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. And the study show is called the Real Talk for Real People Show. And the format that we have designed for you is that we try to give you an intelligent, accurate study. Try to give you a bird's eye view of these studies. We don't try to cross-contaminate it with anything, nor comments and so on and so forth, other than our own. And we try to use the word itself and other sections in the word other books to validate our claims. We don't try to use the red letter version. There's no need for that. Because when the Most High speaks, he says, I'm forever and ever and ever, 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 meaning there's no need for a new version. We're not into anything new because the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is timeless. So we try to give you those studies and that framework. And I want to remind you, fellow students, don't forget those in Ukraine, if you're inclined to pray for them. Don't forget those in Turkey and Syria, if you're inclined to pray for them. And don't forget us, because we are a monstrosity. And we need all the prayer we can get and then some, and some blessings. It's sad what we have been reduced to in these captivities, universally speaking. We try to emulate our oppressors and our relationships and responses to each other. Unfortunately, because we don't understand things, which is that we are told to emulate the source, Abraham, Sarah, and so on and so forth. But because we have been reduced to this monstrosity, we emulate our oppressors. That's why we still find ourselves in dire straits, doing the same thing over and over again, such as marching, protesting, burning your community down, killing one another, mistreating one another, dominating one another, and trying to control one another, and expecting different results. You will only get the same results you've been putting into place unless you stop what you're doing right now and emulate your culture. You are a Eastern people trying to emulate Northern people that have stole their way into Western Hemisphere and stole everything they can lay their hands on and then some. Did you see them at the State of the Union? I'm not impressed in the least bit. I don't emulate these people. These people crazy as hell. They don't know how to have common courtesy. They shouting out in the hall, ah, ah, man, what the hell? And we like that because we crazy as hell too. Because we don't want to emulate the founding father and mother. We want to emulate the captors. Oh, that's funny. I wish I was there. I'd be hollering to you, a fool if you do. Do you imagine Abraham and Sarah there? They hollering out like little children? No, I cannot imagine that. Neither can you if you're a serious student of the Most High Word. Because you don't study the Most High. You don't study his people. You don't know his prophet. Abraham was a prophet. Most High said he's a prophet. You don't study the Most High prophet, Abraham. You don't study Sarah. You study everything counterproductive to them. And you gravitate toward that. You march, you protest, you burn your community down, and you mistreat one another. Can you imagine Abraham and Sarah doing that? I cannot imagine it. Neither can you. Not if you're a serious student of the Most High Word, which we are on the Real Talk for Real People study show. We're serious because we want real change. And real change, we know, comes as a product of you doing what the Most High says, how he says and when he says. That's why I like Abraham, the patriarch of the nation. Anytime the Most High told Abraham to do something, without hesitation or reservation, he always jumped right to it. There's no languishing around, twiddling his thumb, eating bun buns and cupcakes while watching reality shows, while his reality passes him back. He jumped right into it, unlike some of us. We hear the Most High Word, we languish at it. Oh, man, that's going to change things for me. Oh, yes, it will. And for the better. And that's what it's intended to do. Change things for you for the better. Instead of languishing in your universal captivities. Expecting your captors to do something for you in any regard. In any aspect of your life is ludicrous. Oh, it's true. Praise God and bless his holy name. And perhaps you're wondering, Yam Suf, you're making mention to we. Who are the we you're making reference to? Sister Abby out from New York City. She won't be with us because of the fact she's been to a dental appointment. She don't, you know, you don't want to get air in your mouth. You know, it hurts and whatnot. And Cartrell from New York City also. And what do I know about them? All that I need to know about them. I don't need to know the details of their lives. Because ain't no man without sin, or no woman for that matter. If they tell you they are lying, the truth ain't in them. But here's why I know what they gravitate to. Here's why I know what they alleviate their shortcomings with. It's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. The Elohim, Yah. And they love the Most High with all their hearts, mind, soul, and strength, and their brothers and sisters as themselves. I ain't never seen them mistreat, abuse, nor dominate any brother or sister. I ain't never seen them kill one. I ain't never seen them take something from them. And none of that. They don't even talk like that. And I certainly hadn't seen them misrepresentate the Most High. And they won't. And that's good enough for the Elohim. It's certainly good enough for me. And it certainly should be good enough for you. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. Let me bring Cartrell. Cartrell. May the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
All praise to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Shalom, brother Yam Suf, sister Abia. May the Most High bless y'all and family that's out there listening.
Thank you very much, brother. May he bless you also.
And yes, I definitely like what you said about our father Abraham,
mm-hmm.
which is what Yah wants us to be, obedient to his command. Everything Yah told Abraham to do, he did it. Without hesitation, without questioning, without debating, not even trying to bargain. Because he bargained with Yah for his nephew Lot, knowing that his nephew Lot was in Sodom and Gomorrah.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't bargain with Yah. What Yah told him to do, he did it. And he followed the path that Yah gave him to follow, our father Abraham, with no hesitation.
Exactly.
And in spite of the odds, in spite of the odds, you're facing the Philistines, the Canaanites, and anybody else that came your way. But knowing that the Most High is on your side, Father Abraham rolled where he was without fear.
Exactly. Praise Yah, Cartrell. Praise Yah.
Praise Yah. I got the hit back.
Uh-huh.
So you got to forgive me.
Well, it be like that sometimes, Cartrell. But it gets better, my brother. It gets better.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Cartrell, our fellow students, we're going to see the further characteristics and character of the patriarch, Abraham. And if you don't think the Most High tests you, you're in fool's paradise. You are tested by the Elohim. Just make sure you pass the test. Praise Yah. 22nd chapter of Bereshit. You know, if you don't know what that is, that's a Hebrew word for the Genesis word, which is Greek. And the original word means in the very beginning, in the mind of the Most High. Brought to you by way of Mose the prophet. All right. Now it came to pass after these things that Yah tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and I like his response. He didn't say, wait just a minute, I'm doing something. Hold on. I ain't stopping what I'm doing right now. What was his response was immediate. He said, here I am, because he respected the Most High. He feared the Most High. He didn't put the Most High on the back burner. That's how your mind ought to be, too, when it comes to the Elohim. When you know something that the Elohim told you to do or call attention to you to do, there should be no hesitation in our reservation. Oh, it's true. Check out Abraham immediate response. That's how
and
you
also,
be. Yes.
It's a blessing to have direct communication with the creator of heaven and earth.
Exactly.
We got scientists there sending out telescopes and satellites looking for extraterrestrial life in the universe. But the
exactly.
fact that Abraham had direct connect with the Most High is something that science can't even touch.
They can't even fathom that, country, or they can't even imagine. Even if they ran into them by happenstance or check, which would never happen, they wouldn't want to believe it.
So imagine the Most High God created the universe talking to you directly.
Exactly. Yeah, I can imagine that. I can imagine that in the sense when Moses went up on that mountain. And he came back, they kind of got snatched. What are you talking to you for? We can hear whatever he got to say. We can hear what he got to say. You ain't got to be the middleman. Be careful what you ask for. When they heard the Most High speak.
And the thing is, also, the Most High speaks to people in many different ways. He can speak to you in dreams, or he can speak to you in a vision, or he can speak to you face to face like he spoke with Moses.
Right.
We just read the Philistine king. He knew something was wrong. He can't even sleep at night. Most High was talking to him.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So even in vision and dreams or face-to-face, the Most High can communicate with us.
Praise Yah, Kachia.
Praise Yah.
There's direct and that's indirect, as Kachia mentioned. And he speaks to us through his word, indirect. Just make sure you're listening. You say, here I am. When you hear the Most High word, here I am. I'm ready to produce. Thank you, God. Then he said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah. Offer him there as a burnt offering in one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Without any question, I like his response. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. He split the wood for the burnt offering and rose and went to the place which Yah had told him. And on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, and the lad and I will go yonder and worship. And we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. He took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to his father, Abraham, his father, and said, my father, he said, in response, here I am, my son. They had a loving relationship. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for? Even the little boy had common sense, unlike some of us. Something was missing. And Abraham said, my son, Yah will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which Yah had told him. Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. He bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Elohim called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, his quick response, here I am. He said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear Yah, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Yes, the Most High will test you. And Abraham passed the test. That's why he's called a friend of the Elohim. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram, offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Elohim will provide. And that's going for all of our life. And it is said in this day, and the mount of the Elohim, it shall be provided. Then the angel of Yah called to Abraham a second time out of heaven, not heavens, and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Elohim, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. Blessing, I will bless you. Multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sands which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed as a result of us, because you have obeyed my voice. The Most High requires one thing only from us, to have a good quality and constructive relationship, obedience. So Abraham returned to his young men. They rose and went together to Beersheba, where he was staying. And Abraham dwelt in Beersheba, in a family of Nahor. Now it came to pass after these things that it was told to Abraham, saying, indeed, Machlah also has borne children to your brother Nahor. Huz, his firstborn, Buz, his brother, Kemuel, the father of Aram, Chesed, Hazor, Zadash, Jephthah, and Bethel. And Bethel begot Rebekah. We'll find out about Rebekah. But I don't think this is the same Rebekah, Cartier. But in our studies, we'll find out further along the road. That's why we study. These eight Machlah bore to Nahor, his brother. He kept a relationship to the effect with his brother, that he knew what was going on with his brother to that degree. He didn't get in his business. He just kept communicating, the line of communication open. Abraham's brother, his concubine, Nahor, whose name was Rahmah, also bore Tzibah, Baham, Pahash, and Mashah. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. You know, this, we about to come on a sad part tomorrow, but we gonna get there. I want to put the cart before the horse. It's a very sad part for the patriarch, someone that he depended upon, leaned upon on this earth, and relied upon. I know it's been years ago, centuries ago, you kind of can't help but feel for Abraham. Because the one thing he can depend upon, two things, the Elohim and Sarah. Praise y'all, but I'm not going to get into detail tonight. I'm going to rest it right here, and I'm going to hand the mic on to Cartier. Cartier, may the Most High bless you, brother. Praise y'all.
May the Most High bless you, Yasu.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother.
The Rebekah that is talking about here is Rebekah. It is Rebekah. That's why they mention her. They don't mention females too much in the writings of Prophet Moshe.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that she is the daughter of Abraham's brother was vital, because as we go further in the story, Abraham sends his servant Eliezer back to his father's house, his family's house, to find a wife for Isaac.
I thought so. His cousin, his first cousin. Okay.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
The other question I have is that Abraham, when the Most High commanded him to sacrifice his son, he didn't put him on a cross, did he?
No.
So when they talk about Jesus made the sacrifice for the sins of the world, we know the protocol for sacrifice, right?
Exactly.
When you sacrifice something to the Most High, you have to build an altar. So Jesus wasn't placed on an altar. He was hanged like a common criminal on a cross. And people believe that's the sacrifice that he made for the sins of the world. But in this story that we're reading about Abraham and his son Isaac, who's a young man by now, and he could have ran from his father because his father's old. He could have said, nah, you're not going to kill me and make me a sacrifice. Oh, no. Isaac, Abraham's son, participated in the whole process to the point that he was willing to give up his life. And Abraham, they talk about the faith of Abraham and the test of Abraham. I think Yah was testing Abraham, and Abraham was testing Yah. Right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Because how are you going to keep the promise if you want me to kill my son, my only son, the one I love?
Right.
How are you going to fulfill your promise, Yah? So it was a test for Abraham, but it was a test for Yah too. And the fact that Abraham knew that Yah would come through on his word, he wasn't worried about Isaac being sent up as a sacrifice. And even if he did sacrifice Isaac as a sacrifice, he knew that the Most High will replace him, because he saw the wonders of the Most High in defeating the five kings of Chedorlaomer, Meir, and the fact that he prayed for his nephew Lot, and the fact that his wife Sarah had a baby. He's already convinced Yah can do anything and everything. So it doesn't matter what Yah's telling me to do, I'm going to do it, because I know Yah is guiding me. And we have to be of that same mindset. It may seem impossible to you, improbable, impractical to you, but when Yah commands us to do something, we should do it. And the biggest command we have before us is to humble ourselves. Humble yourself, Israel. Yeah, that's the way you meet Yah. That's the way you get connected with Yah. And the fact that we can't obey that command shows us we're not worthy to be even mentioned with Abraham or Isaac or Jacob.
Exactly.
All praise.
All prayers. Well, fellow students, I want to thank Cartier. You ought to thank him too. But that being said, we're proceeding on to the next and the last segment of study. And the Songs of Solomon. Songs of Solomon. King Solomon.
All praise to the Holy One of Yisrael. We got a song by King Solomon. It ain't Peaches and Herb. It ain't the Temptations. It ain't the Osley Brothers. But he did write a song in regards to the woman that he loved. And he had 800 wives and 700 concubines. But this particular sister seems to stand out the most, because he wrote a song in particular for her. So we're in the book of Ecclesiastes, song chapter 2. All praise to the Holy One Yisrael, giving us our King Solomon, who had much wisdom, and even was much like us, who had poetry for the woman that he loved. Ecclesiastes 2, verse 1. I am a rose of Sharon, says this young fine tender, and a lily of the valleys. King Solomon replies, as a lily among thorns. Oh, you ain't just a lily. You're a lily among thorns. I don't want the thorns. I want you. So is my love among the daughters. She replies, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with a great delight. His fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banquet hall. His banner was over me, his love. Strengthened me with raisin. Refresh me with apples, for I am faint with love. His left hand is under my head. His right hand embraces me. I adore you, daughters of Zion. by the roads or by the hinds of the field, that you not stir up nor awaken love until it's so desired. The voice of my beloved, behold, he comes, leaping on the mountains, skipping on the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young deer. Behold, he stands behind our wall. He looks in at the window. He glances through the lattice. My beloved spoke, and he said to me, rise up, my love, my beautiful one, and come away. For behold, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. That's that springtime love, spring love. The time of the singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree ripens her green figs. The vines and blossom, they give out their fragrance. Arise, my love, my beautiful one, and come away. We all know about that springtime love.
Mm-hmm.
King Solomon replies, my dove in the clefts of the rock, in the hiding places of the mountainside, let me see your face. Let me hear your voice. For your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. Are you putting in that charm? That's all you got to tell a woman.
Mm-hmm.
You got a sweet voice, mama. And you so pretty. Oh, you the prettiest woman I've seen ever in my lifetime. Women love that.
Mm-hmm.
Catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that plunder the vineyards. But our vineyards are in blossom. We don't want nothing to happen to them. So we got to wrap up those things that might destroy those things.
Mm-hmm.
She replies, my beloved is mine, and I am his. He browses among the lilies. He's looking at all the other women until the day is cool and the shadow flees away. Turn, my beloved, be like a roe or young deer on the mountain of Bethir. So stay not married, but she's longing for his love, his compassion, that relationship. And she's putting it out there. I want you. And if you find, I want you too. But you can't just jump into situations without proper protocols. So they have to follow protocols. And she's patiently waiting and admiring him, and he's admiring her.
Well, Eastern love is quite different in courtship. It's quite different from this Western hemisphere, by the, brought to you by the way of the Northmen, the romance. Their romances. It's take somebody, sex somebody. And that's why we got rap songs that said to that effect. Nothing expressive of his feelings for her and vice versa. It's just a sexual component. I mean, that is not the art of love making. That's the art of sex making. It's a big difference. From lovemaking to sex making. Love and sex is not one and the same. The king knows this. He's making love to her by virtue of his words and vice versa. She is responding in the sort. Unlike this Western culture, where it's all about sex. You know, and we're pitiful. That's why I said we are monstrosity. We don't know the art of courtship. We know the art of sexship, and we're despicable, disgusting. We need to know the rock we were hewn from and the ditch we were dug from. I'm sure Abraham was expressive in that sense to Sarah and vice versa. They knew how to love one another, and obviously they knew how to sex one another when the time came for, because they had little ads, and I'm pretty sure they spent a lot of quality time trying to make a lot of little Isaac, but they didn't. But they spent quality time doing that too. But the thing is, Abraham knew how to love his wife and vice versa by virtue of their word, constructive and positive words, uplifting words, not demeaning, disgusting, despicable words about sex and trying to count that as love. No, that ain't love. That's just sex. It's true. Tadrell?
Said a mouthful lot. It's one thing to see beauty on the male side and the female side. Women see men as handsome and strong and this and that on a physical appearance. Right. Same with men. You see women, she's shapely, she got a big butt, she got big chest, face is pretty. But the four tops said it. Beauty is only skin deep. Beauty is only skin deep. And the fact that they're showing their characters are beautiful. She's admiring his character, and he's admiring her character, not on a physical, but just on the existence plane. We should appreciate who we are. And that's where real love is. I appreciate you for who you are, regardless of how you look or your physical appearance. That has nothing to do with it. It's who you are, right?
Well,
so a lot of people don't know people say who they are.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Katya. I'm sorry.
A lot of people don't love people for who they may love them because they're handsome or they're beautiful or they got a lot of money, they dress nice, and those are things that are vain that you look at. What we're seeing here, they're not talking about vain things. They're talking about inner beauty and inner love. And that's rare in the earth. It's very rare.
Quality, character is what they love. Quality, character. Because as you said, Katriel, if you don't show quality and character, what is there to love after the looks are gone? There's nothing to love after the looks are gone. If you're not showing quality and character, as you said, beauty is skin deep. Here today, going tomorrow. What's left behind?
Now we could look at Abraham and Sarah. Sarah and Abraham wasn't having no sex, but he still loved them. They were still together until the Most High revived her to have sex again, to have a baby again. So it wasn't just about the sex with Abraham and Sarah.
Right.
So we could see that in that relationship. She's talking about, I'm way past the point of having pleasure with my husband. But wait a minute, you still together with him? You number one wife? Yes, that's true love. Abraham wasn't going to ditch her just because she didn't have children and couldn't have children. But the Most High told her, him and her, that she would have a child. And they were so overwhelmed with joy for having their son Isaac. What a big test. All right, Most High said, now give him back to me.
Well,
they didn't hesitate. At least Abraham didn't hesitate. Because he ain't talking to Sarah. Sarah probably would have said, no way, no how you're going to sacrifice Isaac. So you don't see no dialogue between Abraham and Sarah in regards to this matter. And most of Abraham sacrificed that boy. He didn't have no conversation with her because he knew that she would change his mind, right?
Yeah.
Like, what you going to do? What you getting ready to do? Ah, she probably would have took Isaac and ran.
Right.
You feel me?
Right. But relationship predicated upon this Western Hemisphere is all about sex. It's not about knowing the person, knowing what character the person is, not falling in love with the character of the person, the quality of the person. It's just falling in love with sex. But when the sex is gone, what's there left? It's true.
So Tina Turner asked the question, what's love got to do with it? What's love but a second hand? No, love is not a secondhand emotion. It's the primary emotion. Right?
Exactly. Should be.
Love is the primary emotion.
Should be, Godfrey. The innate nature of a person, the quality of a person, the constructiveness of a person, the spiritual advancement of a person, seeing the person as you see yourself as the person. It takes a lot, you know, and sex is just immediate. I mean, here today, go no more. You can put your little wee-wee in a hole in the ground, and that's what that's about. But it takes more work and quality and to see the quality and the work in others. If you can't see the quality of work in yourself, you certainly can't see it in others. And so if you don't see the innate quality and character of a person, well, then ain't nothing left because your focus is on the wrong thing. Praise Yah. All right, King Solomon could see that. I imagine Abraham and Sarah could see that. That's why they were together for so long. They knew they were on the same team. And they respected, even after the sex was gone. And they 90-something, 190-year-old. What do they want to do anyway? So, you know, they were at a junction in their life that they appreciated because they had built up a relationship. Not built upon sex, but built upon you got my back, I got your back. And that's a big difference culture than this Western Romans. It's true. All right. God, Jared, thank you, brother. Fellow students, thank you. And most important, Yah, thank you and bless your holy name. I don't know where y'all going, but Cartrell and I and Sister Abby, y'all, we finna get ready to get out of here. But most high willing, we'll be back tomorrow to share with you some more sad studies about to come with our mother, Sarah. Tune in. May the most high bless you. Bless and praise your name, most high. And thank you, students. Thank you, Cartrell. Thank you, Sister Abby over there. Get better. Come on back. We love all y'all. May the most high bless y'all. Hallelujah. Cartrell.
Shalom and good night, family. May Most High bless and be with us.
Thank you very much, Cartrell.
I feel just like a kite, but one without a string, one that is floating around. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. Like a bird, but one without a home, one that is floating over endless oceans, empty horizons, no rest in sight. What does it mean when you say you want to be free? Free to sing, free to dance, free to let someone take a glance in a world that's free of me. Then you say, you're moving on. Then you say, I've got other plans. Oh, 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 oh. You're moving in the wrong direction. Moving in the wrong direction. You're moving in the wrong direction, so far away from me. You're moving in the wrong direction, moving in the wrong direction, yeah. You're moving in the wrong direction, so far away from me.
what does it mean? When you say you want to be free, free to sing, free to dance, free to let someone take a glance in a world that's free of me. You're moving in the wrong direction, moving in the wrong direction. Well, you're moving away, so far away, so far away from me, oh. Well, you're moving, 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 well, you're moving.